Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Silent he lies, fur warm from the crackling fire. Mud from the fens, matted in. Water splashes from the metal bowl. For all may drink at the moon underwater.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Oh, Dan, how are you, Dan?
I'm very well, thank you, Robbie.
Dan,
how are you?
Very well, thank you. Look, out of breath, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been bark rubbing.
Have you?
Yeah.
Strenuously?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm trying to document every single tree in the correct realm.
Yeah. How's that been going?
It's been going very well.
What percentage would you say you're up to?
About 43%. It's quite a lot of trees here. I think I should have done just the types of tree, but I set myself a target of every tree.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's
and then I'm hoping that in the snug, I can have a little exhibition when it's all done.
What, of the rubbings?
Yes, the rubbings.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how does one bark rub? What do you do?
You get a piece of paper and some crayon, and then you push the paper against the bark, and then you rub the crayon on it.
Have you written down which tree corresponds to which rubbing?
No.
Right. So you might have to start again then.
Yeah.
Awkward. Mm. Awkward. I really enjoyed from you, Dan,
yep.
your talk at the Correct Realm Drama Society last night.
Did you?
Yeah, really good, really good. Very
Thanks.
Passionate you are
about
your drama. I had to nip off before the end, though, so I missed the last bit.
Yep.
So I wonder if you could just fill me in on what you were saying. As I recall, you're about to explain your novel interpretation of Samuel Beckett's 1953 play Waiting for Godot.
Yes, I was. Well, which bit did you leave on?
I left just about when you said, I'm going to explain a very novel, never discussed before, interpretation of Samuel Beckett's 1953 play, Waiting for Godot.
Well, I said that it was, you know the film Finding Nemo?
Yes.
I've got a theory that Finding Nemo is kind of plagiarised Waiting for Godot.
In what way?
In the way that the characters in Waiting for Godot are lost and looking for, you know, worrying about death,
right?
And then Finding Nemo took that idea and stole it, and they got away with it,
right?
Yeah,
I can't remember the plot for Finding Nemo, so you've kind of got away with it.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dan. Before you, I know you probably have more. Did you have more to say then?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I will tell you something. That won't be the last time Samuel Beckett is mentioned today.
Sinister. Well, absolutely terrified. Who is that out the window there, though, paddleboarding down the stream to the moon underwater? I think, is that the YouTuber and former London mayoral candidate, Max Gosh? It is Max!
Hi, guys.
How are you?
God, I mean, I was outside and there are a lot of trees in this neck of the woods.
There are a lot of trees,
aren't
there? Yeah. Dan's actually been bark rubbing. Is he?
Bark rubbing? Yeah. Is that when you, is that sexual or is that a...
Well, I mean,
it is. What Dan does it.
It is pleasurable, yes.
Nice, okay. Yeah, lots of trees, yeah. Lots of different trees, deciduous trees and the other ones.
Yeah.
No, but well, it's great to be here.
It's good to have someone else with a knowledge of trees.
Where can I just put my paddleboard?
Just hang it on the paddleboard rack.
Oh, God, I didn't see that. God, there's a lot of them, aren't there?
Yeah, 700 in today. It's quite popular in the Crete realm at this time of year.
Yeah, all for winter.
Very, very popular. How was your journey through the realms?
Wonderful, actually. Mm. Yeah, there's a very helpful connection of streams from where I'm staying all the way here. So actually, it was just very simple. There was a few men of the lock that I waved at gave a few, pieces of copper to let me on my way. But no, excited to have a drink.
Because a lot of people don't carry copper these days.
No, we don't.
Hard economy.
I know, exactly. And they were quite surprised considering they only took pound sterling. But they were very, very excited to go quite old school and take actual ore, as it were.
Yeah, we don't have ores discussed on this podcast. Know. I've always been saying that.
Always.
Almost constantly, really.
Yeah,
too much.
Yeah.
For people who don't know your work, Max, how do you describe what you do?
Oh, yeah. Go on. I'm what is known as a YouTuber.
Heard of those.
I know. They are a difficult breed. Like XL bullies. They're never in the news for anything good. And I do things that exclusively are very silly. From legally becoming my parents' favourite child... to running for London mayor, legitimately coming second last, even though my main manifesto point was don't vote for me.
Yeah.
And I've done other things like cooking an Iceland ready meal in an active volcano.
Tell you what I enjoyed was when you brought to life caviar.
Yes, I hatched a fish from supermarket caviar.
That was incredible.
Yeah, Matt's fish. I don't know what he's up to now, but he's in his retirement pond.
And you threw him into that pond, which I felt was...
I tossed him to a new life.
Yeah.
I tossed him off. into a new realm.
Which is funny because to help him give birth, I had to toss off the
caviar.
Yeah.
But I know I got a lot of comments about that because he went to a friend of mine's garden pond because it's illegal to put any form of fish into a larger public body of water.
Is it?
Just in case you kind of make, you know...
An ecological catastrophe.
Yeah, like Loch Ness Monster 2.0. Yeah. Mm. And so I had a friend who had a pond and they said, you can put it in here. And I think people had ideas that I was just going to gently caress this fish in. But yeah. I've seen the deadliest catch. They just throw it straight in.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, I tossed him from about two or three stories up.
Yeah.
A bit of skydiving into his new home.
You've had a surge of popularity of late, haven't you? And I can tell you how I know that. It's because... my kids now watch your videos.
Yeah, it seems like the Robbie Knox Littlins are Max Fosh correspondents.
Yeah, I came in the house the other day and two of the children in two separate rooms were watching different Max Fosh videos.
Wow.
And I said to them, I said, oh, that's Daddy's friend. And they were like, what? I was going, yeah, that's my friend Max. And they're like, okay, when I came here, and they've sort of accepted this now, like after a while. I go, no, honestly.
It's become a universal truth.
They didn't believe it sort of thing. And then when I came here today, I said to Otto, I'm seeing Max Fosh today. And he said, ask him if he wants to come round. So there you go. The offer's open. If you're ever in Norwich,
if I'm ever in Norwich, I'll come round for tea with Otto.
Yeah.
And it's funny because increasingly I think the videos that I've done of late, I've done a lot of videos with a group called The Sidemen, who are a very popular British YouTube group. And their audience, their demographic is a lot younger. And now previously my videos were watched by, the university lot, like 20-year-olds and above. But now I've increasingly got a demographic of younger people watching my videos. And so I didn't think this, I thought it was great. Oh, fantastic. More people watch the vids. But now I'm often, when I'm in public, there'll be a kind of a 6-year-old holding his daddy's hand and he'll walk past and go, oh, it's Max Fosh. And the dad will be like, How do you know that man? And then it doesn't get any better because then
he talks to me on the internet.
They say things like, oh, I watch his videos on the internet. And the father's like, what do you do? Yeah. What have you been showing my child? It's like, no, I promise you, it's all really silly and above board. There's no swear words, I promise. But now little children point at me in the street and he's like, I know that man from the internet. And that's always a disconcerting sentence to hear.
Yeah, well, my kids, as far as I know, don't watch The Sidemen. So I think you've come into their
lives.
Their life somehow. differently.
Yeah.
Also, what I like about your stuff, Max, I like a lot of it, but I like...
Not all of it,
of course not.
No, I like a lot of things about...
I don't even like all of it.
I like a lot of things about it, is what I meant to say. But I like how nice it is, because I saw something on Reddit around the time we had that Uno card thing that was very popular, where you showed you're playing the Simon Charity match and you showed the referee an Uno reverse card
when
after he gave you a yellow card.
Yeah.
And it was around that sort of time, and someone was commenting, and there's a post of it on some quite popular subreddit, and someone said, "That's Max Fosh." And normally, when anyone gets mentioned online, people are saying horrible things about them, whatever like that. Without fail, every comment was positive about
him. That's very sweet.
And the whole thing of people saying, "I love Max, he's great," and people referencing different things and all that. There's no one negative.
That's very kind,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they save the... I don't know whether you're going to bleep the sense of this podcast, but they save the posh for real life interactions.
That will get bleeped for BBC Sounds, I can tell you
exactly.
That.
Yeah. So it's nice that online that they are... I seem to experience the internet's going to be very nice, which will probably make my inevitable cancellation and downfall so much worse when it does eventually happen, as it always does.
Fabulous. Right, we are here to talk pubs and stuff like that. Max?
The pub.
So, the pub. A lot of people had their formative drinking years while they're still at school.
Yeah.
You went to Harrow.
I went to an all-boys boarding school.
Are the first drinking experiences of a Harrow schoolboy similar, from your knowledge, to other youngsters?
Now, I don't know whether I should say this because the school might get in trouble, but you know what? I don't care. they would give... when you were in sixth form, you would get given, like, beer tokens that you could give in at the local kind of the school's tuck shop, and you'd get it was 2 cans of Foster's per like sixth former per week,
right?
We would be able to drink at school, which is probably a good idea from the school to stop like the boys from bringing in like vodka and getting absolutely trashed, because as you say, we are at school the entire time for 3 weeks at a time. But what would happen then is my housemaster wouldn't check whether you'd like given in your tokens. So what we'd do is just like hoard the tokens and then just have like a big blowout once every kind of like 5 or 6 weeks. And that was the first time I was ever sick because of alcohol, was at school. It was on a tins of Foster's. You'd think at like one of the poshest and like well-respected oldest boys' school in the world.
Foster's.
What should we give the young minds of the next generation? Yeah, can of Foster's do.
Yeah.
They're just bulk ordering Foster's.
What age are you here?
17, which is why I probably shouldn't say this, because we were definitely underage, but I don't know whether we were eating it with, we had a slice of pizza with it, so I don't know whether that gets past the law.
Yeah.
What is the law?
I can tell you, I don't know what the law is on, I don't know if it counts as selling it. Do you know what age you can legally give a child alcohol in the UK?
12.
5.
You what?
I could give Arlo, when he comes home from school, a can of beer, my 6-year-old son, and go, "There you go, son, well done. At home, you can give your..."
You can, and you do.
You can.
He's like, "Daddy, stop, not more."
No. He wanted it for a while, but I was like, "Not to your out reception, son." We respect the law here.
How are you able to do that?
Law.
Right.
It's the rules.
Your Honour.
It's the rules. I don't know. It feels... I don't want to come over all some Daily Mail here, but I kind of feel that's a bit young.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess, presumably you can't get kids paralytic, but I guess it means you can give them like a sip of alcohol or something if you want. Or
sure. Like the French. The French are just giving like glasses of Chateau Neuf de Pape from before they can even walk.
Yeah.
Which is great. My formative drinking years were all at school, and then on exeats or weekends when we were allowed home.
Exeats. Does that stand for something?
I think it's Latin for go home on the weekend.
Yes, you're allowed to leave. We used to have them at our school, and it's not a boarding school. It just meant that you were allowed to leave school during school time.
Sounds like a hostage situation.
Yeah. I mean, have a look at our school, mate. It's a grammar school. It looks like a prison. So yeah, it was permission to leave.
On the exeats, we would leave school at like Friday at midday, and my sister at the time was working in PR.
How long your sister?
In public relations, and I used to join her at the pub after work because she used to have lots of pretty friends that I used to like to hang out with. Yeah, I didn't really have many friends when I was at school.
It was whereas all of my fellow Harrovians were going to the pub with each other and getting pissed. I was like, yeah. Tally, can I come with you after work so I can hang out with all the girls from PR, fashion PR? And so I'd sit in kind of, I think it was called the Sydney Arms in Chelsea, and I would just like look just rapturously at these women. I'm like, God, this is so cool. I'm at the pub with women. And I would have some beer. I think some lager beer, some fizzy pop.
Nice. I like that after work, that sort of Friday after work thing, because I've never really, well, very rarely in my life have I had it, because I did one year of proper work when I first moved to London, and then I went to work at Soccer AM at Sky, and every Friday night during the football season, we were working.
Of course,
so you wouldn't
yeah.
get any Friday evenings. It was a Saturday morning show. So in the summer, when you had like 8-10 weeks off, whatever, I would be phoning around my friends going, can I come to your work after work drinks like that? Just chat with a random bunch of estate agents or whoever they are. Just hang out with them. Just do a little tour of it. Because I loved it. Because I never had that.
Yeah, I've only ever had one office job. And it was in kind of my gap year after school. I worked at Woucher for 3 months. Get a wow a day at woucher.co.uk. And
what were you doing?
I was given a job. They were transferring all 2,000 of the companies that are on Woucher. They were transferring all of the information from one system to another, and you could only do that manually. So I was given the job of moving. Yeah, exactly. of 2,000 companies, I had to write a description about the company, the URL, blah, blah, blah. And I was just given this little cubbyhole and told, just get on with it. And I got bored, and so I said to them, what's my job description, guys? And they were like, whatever you like, just choose whatever job description you like. So I made myself the CAO, the chief admin officer. So in the winter of 2013, I was the chief admin officer of Woucher.co.uk. And I was 18, and like that was a classic like Friday night. It was a big sales group at Woucher. And they were only 2 or 3 years older than me, but I was very much the baby of the group. Yeah. I was just in awe, just sat there watching kind of, they were only 21-year-old salesmen and women, just getting pissed and snogging each other. I was like, God, one day I will also snog someone. But I didn't. I just kind of sat there and nursed my, you know, can of Fosters that I had from the token at school left over. So that was kind of one of my formative drinking experiences, was going out with the boys and gals at Woucher.
And then before that,
I only had one other experience, was when I was on holiday skiing. And there was it was the Champions League football match on, and it was Chelsea versus Barcelona. And we went to a local pub in the resort that we were in. And it was back in the days when you could smoke inside. And I was probably 11 or 12. And I'm sure it was a horrible experience for 99% of the time, but I really enjoyed sitting in a pub that was filled with cigarette smoke and smelt of booze. It just, even as 11-year-old, yeah. smoker, I was like, this is great. Yeah. I did the smell of secondhand smoke, somehow I really enjoyed at that point in my life. And now I've kind of like waned in my love of it.
Mm. Yeah, it was weird that time, wasn't it? When you went to pubs and it was smoky. Like,
yeah.
It's strange, every now and then you go to a strange Eastern European country where you can still smoke or something. It's like, oh my God, this is absolutely horrendous. Wonderful. Okay, right. We're going to design your pub now, Max. And first thing we need to go for here is...
Should we talk about the bell?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, how rude of me. I didn't mention Dan's bell.
No, I know about the bell. The bell that you plundered from a passing boat.
Liberated.
Liberated.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the bell. And then if one of your choices may or may not appear
fantastic.
On the bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just to manage expectations, for some reason tends to be the cheaper option.
And more accessible ones.
That 1949 bottle of Bolly might not be turning up. What do you want on draft?
On draft, and now I've mentioned it already, and it was a kind of a formative drink in my early years, the beer years, and it is a lovely frothy pint of Foster's, please, barkeep.
Wow! So you're not taking it in the can format that you offered originally.
I'm going up market. I'm going up market pint, and draft. Now I know that everyone, Foster's disgusting. It's, well, it's the cool thing to say that Foster's is piss beer. I would like some piss beer, please. And one of my friend's dads, he's a lovely man, and
he only drinks kind of like ales and London Pride. And so any lagers he calls fizzy pop. And so I think Foster's is the perfect representation of fizzy pop. And at university, there was a pub called The Hancock. And every Tuesday, they did £2 Tuesdays. £2 pints of fizzy pop Foster's. And we used to drink it, and I was in the Drama Society. And as you can imagine, if you've ever been to university, you know what the Drama Society is like at any of your university. Mm. Very loud, very theatrical,
yep.
And just ruins everyone else's time in any establishment that they're in. And it used to be on Tuesdays, the Theatre Society would turn up to the Hancock, but as well as it seemed like biker gang sock. or as my friend Mark kindly put it, murder sock. Because the most intimidating men you have ever seen in your life would walk in, and they would also take advantage of £2 Tuesdays. Yeah. And so it was this juxtaposition.
It's
the
great unifier, isn't it?
It's the great unifier of kind of like 18-year-old theatre kids who just want to be the centre of attention at all opportunities. And then 40 to 50 men tattooed up to the eyeballs, just the scariest looking individuals you've ever seen, and we're all just holding and nursing a Foster's.
I love it when two different groups come together in one place. Our friend Andy was once out in Las Vegas, and he was at some tech conference thing in one of the big hotels, like some big tech event. So it was, and at the same time in the same hotel, there was also the porn convention.
I've been to the porn expo.
But he said these things were combining. He said, and it was a mix of like really sort of wealthy but very introverted geeky guys and porn stars sort of meeting in the bars and stuff like that.
Yeah, going to the porn expo is one of the most fascinating parts, like bits of sociology I've ever seen. Just the way that how society works, because the porn expo is you've lined up the world's most famous and well-respected porn performers. And then you have their fans who turn up. And half of the expo is kind of looking at the newest and latest and greatest tech in the porn industry. The other half is you can meet your favorite porn star. And
when you say tech, are we talking about for the filming? Or are we talking about for the...
No, like just different ways that you can have an orgasm. Just okay. Like any way you can think of. They had a version of Flappy Bird, you know, the version of Flappy Bird where you have the little thing, it has to go through the little chutes and you go up and down. And the way you make it fly up and down was by bouncing on top of a...
You got it.
But at this expo, they would line up. Obviously, the male porn stars and the female porn stars were on opposite sides of the room. Nobody was queuing up to meet their favorite male porn star.
No.
But they were just queued to meet their favorite female porn star. And it was what they would do. They'd meet and they would... Then they'd get there. And it was like they didn't know what to say. So it's like, hi, can we get a picture, please? And some of the performers they would charge you for a picture. Some of them would charge you for a hug, and it was kind of a very very sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we've gone into a rabbit hole of the Las Vegas Porn Expo. But I went in 2020, and when I got back, COVID. So it was a wonderful start to the year in 2020 for me.
So to sum up Foster's,
yes. Yeah. To sum up Foster's, I had many happy days drinking £2 pints of Foster's. With porn stars in Vegas.
Dan, you're the stater of this podcast. What do you know about Foster's?
Well, it was it did start in Australia.
That's not a Martingale.
Yeah, it was invented by William and Randolph Foster, who are from New York actually, but went to Australia and started brewing it. And it became really popular there because, well, I'll...
Quick question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Is there an apostrophe in before the S in Foster's?
That's a very good question.
I'm wondering whether it refers to the multiple Foster brothers.
Yes.
Not Foster brothers. So there isn't it. So it's belonging to one of them or to belonging to the family?
I don't think there is an apostrophe in it.
I think there is an apostrophe
there
in
there is?
It. Yeah, I think there is.
Have you met the Fosters?
Yeah, you go to VAR. And I'll tell you this. So they had a German brewmaster, and they created what they describe as a great, clean, crisp lager that the Germans were famous for.
Sorry to interrupt. We're just hearing there is an apostrophe in Foster's.
There is an apostrophe in Foster's.
Belongs to the Carry Foster on. Brothers. Yeah. So they invented this lager, and it was very, very popular because of the heat in Australia. And this is what it says on the Foster's website. Instead of the colonial ales that the Poms had forced on the locals...
buying them beers,
force feeding London Pride.
Drink this cask ale. Yeah. Yeah, so that's an interesting fact.
It is from Australia, which is...
I mean, obviously it's now brewed here, but if you're drinking it here. But yes, it is originally from Australia. And then...
Do we have a year when...
1888 first brewed it.
Nice.
Yeah. Is there a beer that's 1888 that's more famous?
There's probably quite a lot of...
Isn't there something that uses it?
1664?
Maybe I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
A bit later than that.
Same ballpark.
It's all
before
old.
I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that 200-year period was the real renaissance of the Industrial Revolution of beer. When everyone was kind of getting involved.
Yeah. And a bit of Norwich City. You know, you watch Norwich City, you take the kids to see Norwich City.
On occasion, yeah.
Foster's Lager Brand was used as a shirt sponsor for Norwich from 86 to 89, a period which included two top five finishes and a run to the FA Cup semi-finals.
All because they were drinking Foster's.
And at the time, this is fairly hard to believe, that deal was the most lucrative sponsorship ever given to an English football club.
Wow.
To Norwich City.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, it's an odd decision to spend a lot of money on. Well, I suppose they were.
I live in Norwich, and I think it seems sensible, Dan.
Yeah.
So are they the only team that have been sponsored by Foster's?
Foster's. I don't know. I haven't done that much work on it, sorry.
It seems like, from my VI, it does seem like they are the only team that have been sponsored by Foster's.
You don't get as many beer.
I think it's illegal now, is it not?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it's got a very good logo to be sponsoring a team. It is a good logo. I do like it a lot. And I do like actually the pint glass that you get with a pint of Foster's in a pub. I mean that's actually going on to my next bit, which I will save. But it's a very long and thin, it's almost very, very like a Peroni glass.
Yes.
It's very nice and long and thin. So
a vase.
Yeah, it looks like you're drinking a pint out of a vase, which is very, very nice.
Yeah. And also, I'll mention again in Norwich, when we were at uni, UEA, late 90s, pound a pint. Foster's.
Oh yeah, it was, wasn't
Inflation.
It?
Inflation.
Yeah.
Gosh, 2014 really they started to add an extra pound onto the.
Yeah, I know. Well, so you're flexing your £2 Foster's. Yeah. We're like, bloody hell.
That is pricey.
How the Harrow schoolboys live.
It doesn't really help with the alliteration. £2 Tuesdays, £1
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
Fabulous. Okay, right. Foster's is in there. What are you having to companies as a foil to your Foster's?
As a foil to my Foster's it's a Camden Hells. It's a Camden Hells lager. Nice. I have gone for two lagers here, which I'm slightly deciding whether I think that's a good idea to have two lagers as my choices. But back to the glass situation, a Camden Hells pint glass is the absolute antithesis to a Foster's pint glass. It is the chode of the pint glasses. It's very wide, it's very fat, it's very short, and it's almost like a bucket. You almost need two hands to kind of hold it upright. And they have the half pint versions of them are the most adorable things I've ever seen.
They are lovely.
Because it's so wide, they are so short.
Mm. It's like drinking from a frying pan.
It really is.
Yeah.
Or a wok. Yes. And I did the tour. I did the Camden Hells brewery tour. And I think just tours of breweries or distilleries just in general are a bit rubbish because they kind of go round and they try to explain and they talk about hops a lot and yeast a lot. And talk about notes and like fruity notes, but 99% of the people on that tour do not care one bit. Looking forward to the end bit. And even then, when you're sat there with your little wooden almost paddle with different beers cut out or put into little holes in the middle, and they try and give you the fruity notes, no one cares. So I did that tour at Camden Hells and got absolutely smashed. And as a thank you for that time, as it was a very remarkable experience for me, so I thought I'd put them on the list as one of my beers.
Oh, fabulous. What do we know, Dan?
Well, it was invented by Jasper Cuphage.
Cuphage.
He was the founder.
C-U, any apostrophe in there?
Cuphaidge.
Okay.
The first beer that he bought a pub called The Horseshoe, and then he started brewing his own beer. And his first beer that he brewed was a little present for him for his mum, because his granddad used to brew beers in Australia, right?
And for the Foster's?
I don't know, maybe, yeah. And he called it Max after his granddad, because his granddad was called Laurie McLaughlin. And it kept brewing and brewing. And then it became really popular. He put it on tap in his pub and then started selling it to other pubs because it was sort of getting locally known as a nice pint. And then he sort of went, well, there's something in this. So he started making Hell's, which he wanted to call Max. There was obviously already a brewery called Max, so that's why he called it the Camden Brewery.
Almost named it after me.
Yeah.
Which is
a lovely little synergy.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's Camden Town Brewery. Yeah.
I had a situation, a very memorable situation at university that I had a conversation where I had a Camden Hell's in my hand, and I used to do work on hospital radio, and I did the breakfast show on hospital radio, and one morning I thought I should play some AC/DC, because there was a track that AC/DC, obviously everyone knows, Highway to Hell, mm-hmm. that's got a fantastic intro. There's guitars and it goes into just like silence. I thought, great, I'll do my link in the silent bit of Highway to Hell. Yeah. I was like, welcome back to Radio Tyneside, Max in the morning, that kind of thing. And I did my show and I kind of went away. I was like, fantastic. And there was a pub further down the road, and later that evening I went there, and the director of the radio station called me and said, can I pull you for a chat? Quite Love Island-esque. I said, well, I'm just in the defect as well, down the road. And he said, oh, okay, I'll meet you in there. And I had a pint of Camden Hell's. And he said, Max, I really need to talk to you about something that's really serious. We've had a number of complaints. I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, about what you played this morning. I was like, what have I done? He's like, on a hospital radio station, you played the song Highway to Hell. Do you remember that? I looked at my glass and thought, Yeah, I do remember that. And he said, Max, we are an easy listening station. You can't play Highway to Hell. And that's when I kind of thought I was in the clear, because I thought, okay, so he's not telling me off for playing Highway to Hell to those individuals that are in hospital in the Northeast. But mainly his qualm was that it wasn't easy listening.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And so I very nearly got sacked. And my argument was like, don't have it on the system if you don't want me to play Highway to Hell. So yeah, I very nearly got sacked from hospital radio whilst holding a glass of Camden Hell's during my hospital radio days.
So it's back to Kenny G.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be people who could be maybe not on the way up in life that might be closer to the end. Yeah. That was his worry, but it wasn't.
Yeah. It wasn't that. No. It was like, hey, we're all about easy listening here on Radio Tyneside. So please, can you not play Highway to Hell? I thought, yep, roger that, Dave. Yeah. I will not play Highway to Hell. But they also had like on the system, they had songs called like Death is Painless and things like that, which is apparently a famous pop song. I think from Smash, the TV show. It was the theme song to Smash, and they had a name, something like Death is Painless. So yeah, they didn't have a qualm with you playing songs that reminded people of the incoming doom of eternity, but more that it was just easy listening was the issue.
I was once driving when I was about 17 on the Isle of Sheppey, and it was summer, had the windows down. My friend Gavin was driving along, and we went past an ambulance, and it was playing na 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 na, baby, give it up like that. And just a look round, they were doing like CPR on some bloke on the ground.
Oh,
and I went playing Give Up. I go, oh my god, turn that down, something absolutely horrendous.
That's awful.
So similar vibes.
I'm trying to find out what the Smash theme song is so I can look it up. Is it called Smash or Mash?
Mash. Mash. Suicide is Painless.
Suicide is Painless.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
They had that. That was the that was another song they had on there.
Yeah, you were saying Smash, and I was thinking about the adverts with the robots. This might be before your time.
For the powdered...
For the powdered mashed potato.
Yeah.
The theme song to mashed potato is Suicide is Painless. To be fair, if you ate enough mashed potato, that's probably what would happen.
Yeah. Like we had someone at university who I lived with in the third year. She basically existed on Smash. Smash and Super Noodles, I think. That was it.
I'm trying to amalgamate the two names. Smooper Noodles.
Not the Smooper.
Is she still alive? Well,
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Lost contact.
Whether big potatoes caught up with her over the years.
I'm imagining if a diet of Super Noodles and Smash continued for 20 years, it is debatable.
I've been listening to an audiobook about ultra-processed food at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
Ultra-processed people. I don't think they'd like Smash.
No.
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 When you say you're listening to an audiobook, did you see a TikTok about it, or you actually listen
no,
to
actually
an audiobook?
No, I actually listened to an audiobook because they're now free with Spotify Premium.
Right, yeah, very nice. There you go. Yeah, no, so. I'm a big advocate of saying, so I read something the other day and it was just a TikTok that yeah, I saw that was okay. 30 seconds long. I didn't read it yeah. at all.
Well, I was about to say I read it, then I was like, no, I listened to someone else read it. I read, Max.
Someone else did the heavy lifting for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. I got the information was imparted. The, yeah. the method in which that happened is not important.
But yeah, so Camden Hells for me, lovely. Wonderful, a wonderful glass shape, a wonderful lager beer, and the lager beer that I nearly got sacked from Hostel Radio whilst drinking.
Flavour of Camden Hells, I read in one place, that flavour, freshly baked bread, laced with floral, herbal, and botanic hop.
So basically, rosemary bread. Garlic bread.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. I don't get bread.
Never noticed that. No,
but I have seen that. Yeah,
they're both carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go then.
Yeah. Yeast.
Exactly. Yeah. Taste of bread. Of course it is. It's made of yeast. Yeah.
Max, this question might be a very short one. If the answer is no, you have a very thorough system from chatting in the pub and stuff of going through video ideas,
yeah.
and evaluating ideas. And there's a lot that you come up with that never sees the light of day. Have there ever been any pub or alcohol related ideas that you've come up with that you can think of?
I mean, there's been ones that we've come up with at the pub that we've definitely thought about. One of them being water skiing behind a cruise ship. That definitely came up after I had a few drinks. But there is, with the videos, we do often have something called the pub test, which is where can you explain the video to somebody in a sentence after the phrase, did you hear about that guy that blank? So if you can succinctly put in what the video is about in that sentence, then it's a good video. So we have kind of three areas. So there's the pub test, stakes. So what could go wrong, and does it stick the landing? So is there a big moment at the end? You're like, okay, that's the end of the video. Great. So those are the three things. And the pub test is definitely one of them, because you need to be able to go down the pub and be like, oh, did you see that guy that cooked a ready meal in an active volcano? So it's something that we do think about a lot.
Fascinating chatting to you about these things. Yeah. And you're definitely I phoned you up the other day because I was thinking, this video I'm doing, this is the video I'm doing at the minute. I will almost certainly be out unless something's gone very tragically wrong by the time this goes out, where Becky, the YouTuber, and I go to Lapland to try and have a pint with Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that sounds much more like something Max would know about than me. So I said, Max, you've got 5 minutes, I can ask some questions.
Yeah, I got very in-depth about the storytelling structure of what you would do for that video.
I would talk about story structure for a very long time, don't you worry.
There was a video idea I had, which was, it's more of just a topic of conversation I love talking about whilst at the pub, which is, how much do you think you drink in your lifetime? Mm-hmm. Is just a concept that we have. And someone said, up to date, how many pints of beer do you think you have had? And somebody said 100,000. I thought, are you mad? There is no way you've had 100,000 beer. I was thinking more, maybe I've had 2,000 pints in my entire life up until this point. I'm granted I'm only 28, but also, do you think the amount you could drink would fill a swimming pool? Is that amount that you've had in your life?
Yeah.
Could it fill a swimming pool?
I don't know.
This is when the pen and paper comes out, and you start doing the maths.
The calculator on mind here. I reckon I'm going to say, on average, since I started drinking around 18, maybe 10 pints a week.
A week.
So
that was 10 pints a week.
Is that too much? I'm thinking uni, it was a lot more. Now I probably have one a week on average or something like that.
Okay.
Do you not think? Is that mental?
I think it might be a bit. Well, I don't know.
Maybe that is too much.
I would say that five a week is probably more accurate. So you've been, how old are you?
46.
You're 46. So let's just say you're 48 for ease. 20 years you've been drinking. An average 20 years, 50 weeks a year.
Oh, try again.
What, 18? Oh, 30 years. Yep. 30 years, there's 50. God, do you mind? 30 years, there's 50 weeks in a year. That's 1,500. 1,500 times by five.
Oh, so you said 4,500. So you said about 5,000, didn't you?
Yeah, I reckon you've between 5,000 to 10,000 pints you've had in your life.
Yeah.
Which if you pour that into a swimming pool, would it fill to the brim?
I think about that, but not in terms of volume of liquid, but how much I've spent on alcohol over the years. And because I do think, God, I wonder how much money I'd have if I'd never drunk. I'd also be a virgin. Oh, how many women have you talked to, Robbie? None.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wonderful. Okay, it's time for bottles or cans now.
Yeah. Bottles and cans.
What's your first choice?
I sent these over, and this might affect Dan's bell situation, because feel like...
Don't change anything.
I'm going to start with the one that I've definitely kept, which is the M&S Passion Star Martini. Oh, here we go.
We waited to hear whether the moon underwater would. Oh. And look, we can see it materialising. Yeah.
Tell us about it, Max, while it materialises.
So the Passion Star Martini can. I think it's just, it's a fantastic beverage, of course. It's just juice. It's sweet. It's absolutely absurd as an alcoholic beverage. But it represents just canned cocktails in general for me, which are just they're so fantastic, especially at festivals. They completely encapsulate what it is like to go to a festival in the United Kingdom, because I always find at festivals, especially day festivals in general, you always need a wee.
Yeah.
So drinking things that are slightly more like percentage of alcohol is a good idea, but also is going to give you some energy.
Yeah.
You know, on the sugar variety before you, of course, crash. And so cracking a couple of these Passion Star Martini cocktails, which, and also the color of it, you know, is just
golden.
It is just the color of juice. It's the equivalent of, you know, when you're at your friend's like football party when you were younger, and you were given the drink after you play football, and all these kind of 8-year-old kids are just like absolutely guzzling down.
That smells incredible.
I was going to say, the scent smells really hits you when you open it.
It really feels like there is a whole passion fruit in there.
It feels like the kind of drinks you'd pick up at Waterloo Station to cram in your bag before going to Wimbledon.
Yeah, absolutely. You're sat on...
God, it's very sweet.
You're sat on the District Line with various other men and women who've all got blazers of various different colours and qualities on, and you're making polite... It's the beverage for people who aren't football hooligans but like a drink on a train.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Basically, posh people.
I've never had this before.
No, me neither.
Never had this before.
I don't think so. I don't recognise the can, anyway.
It's passion fruit juice and vanilla flavouring.
Yeah.
It's a porn star martini, but obviously they can't say porn star on the front.
That's the main thing I wanted to mention about this, is because M&S have gone, well, should we can a porn star martini? Or obviously we can't, we're M&S for God's sake. We can't call it a porn star martini. So they went with passion.
But that's really interesting. They would have been a long conversation in the marketing department about whether they could call put something in their shops called Porn Star.
Yeah.
Could they write the word Porn Star in somewhere in their store? And they obviously said no. So they've gone for Passion Star Martini.
Because for a while I couldn't work that out. What does Passion Star mean? And then eventually I went, oh yeah, porn.
Very vanilla-y, isn't it?
Very vanilla-y. Yeah. That'll be the vanilla flavouring coming through.
Yeah.
Not quite. They haven't quite gone for Madagascan vanilla.
No.
Not the little black dots that you see in good quality vanilla ice cream.
Do you know what, Max? Funny you should say that. At the weekend, I made my own vanilla ice cream. I've never made vanilla ice cream before.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best ice cream I've ever had.
How do you make ice cream?
You have an ice cream maker.
Right. Okay.
But, no, the ice cream maker only does the freezing bit. I can talk you through it. It's just a good food on BBC Good Food, ultimate vanilla
ice cream.
Our friends
at BBC Good
Food. Our friends at BBC Good Food. Yeah.
Friends of the channel, friends of the pod. Yeah.
Our good chums. And you basically get some double cream, some full fat milk, some sugar. Heat it up just below boiling. You don't need to boil it, will curdle, with the vanilla pod that you've opened up, sliced open, and got those little seeds out.
Yeah.
About seeds. Then turn it off the heat, let it infuse for half an hour. Egg yolks, more sugar, quite a lot of sugar. Beat that together till it becomes a bit firm and sticky sort of thing. Add that to the other thing. Heat it up into a custard, stirring all the time. Chill overnight, and then the ice cream machine is just... cools it down and churns it.
There you go. You made ice cream.
Incredible. But no, I've made better ice cream than I've ever had before.
I've got an ice cream maker as well, and I love it. Me and my son go out and pick blackberries in the late summer, and we make blackberry ice cream every year.
That sounds like heaven.
It's amazing.
That sounds like parenting utopia.
Yeah.
So you tell the 18-year-old dad, day you'll have your own little boy.
Yeah.
You'll gallivant around the fields of the South Downs picking blackberries for your own homemade ice cream. How's that sound?
Great, Daddy. It does feel like you're raising your child in the 1920s.
Yeah. How's Enid Blyton and the gang getting on? That's fantastic. So yes, a Passion Star Martini cocktail is definitely up there. I'd love to know the various different options they probably were thinking about when they were deciding what they were going to call the Porn Star, not Porn Star Martini cocktail. But Passion Star, it is 8% volume.
Mm.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I can see myself having this on LNER up to Newcastle for, you know, a stag weekend.
Or a university reunion.
Yes, of course. That's exactly
I listen to you.
Yeah,
I know where you've been.
I know where you've been.
I know where to avoid.
I know what you've done.
Yeah, any facts?
A couple of reviews. One said, one of the best pre-mixed cocktails I've had in a while. It's not particularly strong, so you can easily go through a few glasses. But then Spudhead, immediately below that, said, this is a little sweet for me, but I enjoyed it. Alcohol content 8%, so it's quite strong. So one person saying, not that strong. Next one saying, it is a bit punchy.
I like the phrasing that I've had in a while. Because it really conjures this idea that this person has been sat, I haven't had a good pre-mixed contact for a long while. Do you know why? And then finally, it's this kind of like moment of realization. You remember, it's the cad of my dreams. Mm. So yes, it is quite strong, 8%, which is kind of the same. What's that similar? It's obviously the slap bang in the middle between beer and wine.
Yep.
Maybe a
double IPA, perhaps.
Case cider. It's about 8%.
I don't know if Max is old enough to remember case cider.
No, but when I worked at a pub in London after I graduated uni, I would always enjoy that. Obviously, cider was always the most alcoholic beer or kind of like draft item that we would sell. And so it was in a part of London where people would come in and weirdly, inexplicably say, I'd like to have the strongest beer you have.
Okay.
Which is a weird way of ordering at a bar. But then I would pour them a cider.
The tastiest, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
I want the strongest.
It's like they're the ones in the curry house go, the strongest curry that you've got.
Yes, yeah. And so I would give them a cider. What's this? I was like, it's a cider, it's 6%. Like, what? And so I didn't realise that cider was so incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I used to drink cider all the time because I didn't like the taste of beer until a boss, when I lived in a ski resort in Vancouver, in Whistler, said to me, no one likes beer. You just have to drink it and then you'll start to like it. And I did that. But up until then, throughout uni, I drank cider. But now the cider I like is the proper... cloudy, scrumpy stuff you get from a farm that you got to chew through that's like 13%. Mm. That's what I want. You get a headache in the first half of the glass.
Did you do a video, Robbie, of the strongest beer in the UK?
No. Not yet.
No, you didn't. No, not yet. What was the one you did with? You did it with Alfie, where you waited for ages at a pub. It was at the most expensive beer in the UK.
That was one. It was I don't think it was a most something. It was a beer that comes out once a year called Putty by Verdon. That's lovely and very free. We just did that as a casual thing, yes, I think. But
it wasn't the
always keen for always for beer ideas.
I have the strongest beer in the world. There you go. Yeah. Good title there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And this happened. I'll join you on that. Okay. I want to know what happens.
that's a date. Wonderful. Anything else?
I read a very good article by Eve Watson on Plymouth Live, who decided to rank as many pre-mixed cocktails as she could. I reckon
citizen journalist.
I reckon she had quite a good time.
She had a great couple of days at the office or from home.
Yeah, exactly. In
fact, that is more effort than a lot of people put into their jobs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She is just. So is she written an article? Or is she just? Oh, I thought she was a commenter on an article.
No. She wrote
well
the
done,
article.
Eve.
And she rated. She gave the Passion Star Martini a solid 9 out of 10.
Right.
The only thing. It was better, she said. But I think this was the last one that she drank. So I'm a bit like, have you done these in order and were you doing it all in one go?
Yeah.
Was Aldi's Cosmopolitan, which she gave 10 out of 10 and claimed it was only 85p in Aldi.
Right.
So if you were looking for another premixed cocktail,
go for Aldi.
Apparently that's the
What was the
one.
Process of her ranking? Did she just take sips and go, oh, that's nice?
I don't know.
Oh, that's nice as well.
She did, did some nice descriptions.
Okay. How many are on the list?
I thought it was just going to be, I think the title was sort of mentioned three, including this, but I think it was like 7 or 8. So I think she had a nice day.
Well done, Eve.
Yeah.
Well done, Eve. Eve. Good day
keep
at the office.
The work.
Yeah.
Keep up the work.
We're a big fan of your journalism.
Yeah.
Here at Moon Under Water.
Yeah, fabulous. What's going with that in the pub can and bottle category?
So, I mean, I did send over beforehand the wonderful producers here at the podcast asked me to send over
you can ignore them, mate.
And so
ignore
there is them. I am going to change. I initially did say Corona because it is just out of a bottle. It is just so iconic and absolutely delicious, but I realized I didn't have any wine on anywhere in my in my pub, so I've decided to go for a rosé. And a rosé I've discovered recently called Pink Diesel.
Wow.
It's Pink Diesel Rosé, and it is absolutely amazing.
Describe the bottle, because I'm really torn on which angle this has gone.
No, it's quite classy. It's quite a classy wine. It's called Pink Diesel.
Hashtag fuel good times.
Hashtag fuel good times.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I think I had it because I saw it on a menu in a pub nearby to me called the Walmer Castle. And I'm a big fan of titles, obviously, in what I do. It's all about the title and the thumbnail. It's the headline. Yeah. What are you going to bring people in? And it stood out. So it was like, that's amazing. Of course I want to have, something that is a pun or just talk about fuel. Yeah. Petrol for the girls. Yeah. And so I had some petrol for the girls. I had some Pink Diesel and it was absolutely delicious. I don't really know much about rosé, but I do know that it's the law to drink it between, May and September. Although I'm sure that the lovely people at Rosé, Big Rosé.
The Big Rosé.
They're trying to get rid of that that notion that you can only drink it in certain parts of the year. But I had a couple of glasses and then a bottle of Pink Diesel.
Wow, and I'm so on board with this.
I'm a big Rosé fan.
I did have some fuel good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I face a lot of resistance when I suggest getting a bottle of Rosé with people. In the summer, I will say, what wine? Do you want some wine? I went, I'm happy with, if summer, I think I'm happy with white or rosé. They're always going white. Very
do
rare.
Do you say it like that? Can I, rosé?
Rosé? Like, no, losing confidence the longer I get through the word rosé. Yeah. Rosé.
No, I think rosé is a very important, I get very flirty when I have rosé. I think I kind of pretend that I'm James Bond for just a few hours because there's just very nonchalantly holding my glass of rosé and just having a bit of flirt with literally anybody in the pub. It just gets me very, very flirty, does rosé.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
That's nice.
I like the different effects of drinks, the different things bring different moods.
Oh, absolutely. And it depends what you've drunk beforehand, because if you start on beer, I think anything after beer you'll just feel quite bloated. But yeah. You know, they've got the saying, beer before wine, you're fine.
Yes.
Or wine before beer, you're in the clear. I know that one of them...
Yeah,
wine before beer, oh dear, I heard.
Oh, it's wine before dear, wine before beer, oh dear, okay.
But I do put that through my head. I think, hang on, can I drink this?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the scientists that came up with this phrase must... They know what they're talking about. Yeah. Go on.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I will have a bit of a rosé at Christmas dinner.
A Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not for the main meal.
Okay. Even me, who's been moaning about people judging rosé, is like, what?
I'll get a nice rosé to go with the smoked salmon starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pigs and blanket and rosé.
Yeah.
That's how God intended it. Us to enjoy Christmas.
What's the bottle there? Is that a sort of...
I think it's got
a ballerina type thing or something.
It's got
it's a fuel nozzle. The picture on the website is the bottle is slightly out of focus and horizontal, but that makes sense. Fuel nozzle. Yes.
A fuel nozzle on the sticker. It's just your very classic your wine bottle shape. Although I don't think there are many wines that are doing anything out of the box in terms of the bottling process. Or am I wrong with that?
No, not much. I don't see much. Do you?
I've never seen a funky bottle of wine just aesthetically. No.
Well, you do get the fatter, squatter rosé, sort of the classic
Matthias
Portuguese.
Rose, yes. Yeah.
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 Okay.
That's as far as it goes, isn't it?
Portugal. Rosé's, I think, Portugal for that a lot of the time. Vino Verde is my favourite of the summer wines. Nice light fizz to it. Also from Portugal. Portugal really has nailed summertime drinking.
I went down to Seville for a stag do recently. Mm. My brother stag do, and I didn't realise that Seville is very well known for sherry. So all we drank over the course of the weekend was sherry. And it absolutely destroys you after you've had one night of sherry.
Yeah.
And just everyone was like, God, this is amazing sherry. Like, I've got no sherry index to back this. I haven't done the work like the lovely journalist down at Plymouth Live to rank my sherries.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of church, because I think communion wine is sherry. And it just reminded me of the blood of Christ from my days of Catholicism.
But I do also think with that, because I don't drink sherry, the issue is I know how much wine I can reasonably drink. I know how much beer I can reasonably drink. I don't know how to approach sherry.
No idea.
How many glasses of sherry is a reasonable amount to drink?
Probably about two.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you'll be okay.
Only two things I know about sherry is Fraser and Niles always had sherry on Fraser.
Okay.
Sherry Niles, he would always say when he came in.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And my great aunt Shirley would generally have a sherry at Christmas when
sherry
she came
Shirley?
Over. Sherry for Shirley.
Yeah. I mean, you know how we've got drinks have kind of had their renaissances, gin a couple of years ago and rum at the moment. When are we getting sherry coming back? In a big way. When are there going to be unique kind of like bars in Shoreditch that only serve sherry whilst you play some...
Let's do it, mate. Let's make that our
project. Some wiffle ball with a glass of sherry.
Let's be big sherry.
Big sherry. That's what Dan calls his auntie when she came over for Christmas. Big sherry's here.
Big sherry.
Dan, have you got any facts about Pink Diesel? I appreciate it's only just materialised in your head, so it might be tough to do. But I wonder if you can quickly... browse the website.
Well,
in mind.
I do. What I do quite like is that they ladle on the diesel puns
as much
as they can, especially their last line: the future of wine drinking starts here. It's time to take it up a gear. Drink Pink Diesel to hashtag fuel good time.
Good, nice.
Love
they're
it.
Getting
it.
I mean, if it's diesel, you also need some Ad Blue. That's the chaser. They come out with a range of pre-mixed cocktails called Ad Blue.
I don't know what Ad Blue is.
Neither do I.
My only knowledge of it is that the other podcast, New Happy Hour, Jack, who drives it down, every day his car is telling him he needs more Ad Blue. I don't know. He's just pouring AdBlue into this machine.
It's just... I
guzzles
it. Yeah, I once rented a car and it said, you are running low of AdBlue. I had no idea what he was talking about. It's like, I've done the diesel bit. What, you have to fill up a second liquid into this thing to make it work? Where does it go? Is it even blue? I think it is, actually. I think it is blue. But then it reminds me of windscreen wiper fluid.
Yeah.
You don't want to mix those two.
No.
Up.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
No,
it's not that.
It's something to cool the engine down, or all diesel cars have got a paid partnership with something called Blue, and they've got to mention it at every opportunity.
Okay, phones away. Put a gag on Siri. It's quiz time. Elvis's black belt was in karate. I saw it on QI. No half points for saying J.K. Rowling is the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
Moira Stewart.
No, I'm afraid it was Gordon Honeycomb.
Max, are you a fan of a pub quiz?
Oh, I love a pub quiz, me.
Oh, you might not like this one.
Oh, gosh.
Because Dan has got one here.
Yes.
I say that because you've been on a... I don't know. They've not always been the greatest.
The greatest.
Some have started strong and they've got a bit of things, but yeah. I've got high hopes for this one.
Okay.
What have you chosen this week?
Well, Max, we always like to slightly tailor it to our guests.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned at the beginning, you do lots of... The sort of theme of your videos is silliness, isn't it? And you've got the Silly Company.
Yeah, Silly Company.
Little plug there for
you. .co.uk.
Yep. So I thought we could do a silly quiz, right? Mm. So you're not... Well, you're extremely unlikely to know the answers to any of these questions. But the way it's going to work is you're against each other and it's who gets the closest because you can make a guess.
Is it about They're the all silly guessable. Isles? Because if I was going on Mastermind, that would be my specialist subject. I don't know anything about them at the moment, but if I was in front of Clive in the chair, I would make sure I knew everything about the silly aisles.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is why you're an extremely successful YouTuber and I got less than 1,000 subs. Right. So, it's not that.
Right.
It's just, it's actually sort of silliest world records.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So they're all really silly, ridiculous things. I'm going to read you 5 questions, have a think about them, second half of the pod. You two, give me your answers. If you get it perfectly right, amazing. But it's basically... Correct. Closest wins a point.
I'm it quite feels like you'd have a passion star.
I'm already on my way.
I'm
already looking at thinking, oh, I wish there was another cab.
God, I'm actually quite drunk. But yeah.
I should run to M&S.
I'll go back to work.
Yeah. It feels like you would have a world record, Max. Do you know?
We've looked into it. I've looked into it, what I could break. And it seems now that, I don't want to tarnish the good name of Guinness and their world records, but it does seem now that if you want one, It's a case of just paying to get one.
Oh.
Because I think they will almost find one.
That's... Oh, yeah, you can do almost anything and they'll have to approve it.
And they'll have to approve it. So, no, I have thought about doing one, but I don't know what it would be. I wanted to do a video for a long time where I put the world's kind of largest motorway attraction or motorside attraction. You know, in the States, they have like odd things.
World's biggest peach.
Yeah, something like that. And I wanted to, I seriously got into like the planning, kind of the weeds of planning permission to put up a massive chicken looking like it was crossing the road next to the M1. I wanted like a 40 meter carbon fiber perspex rooster with one leg outstretched looking like it was about to cross the road. And then the lawyers got involved and said that if during a storm any part of the rooster flew off and hit someone's car and they died, I would be liable under a criminal criminally charged.
So I went ahead
and we're planning on it. And then they also said, I think to make it was going to cost like £600,000. I thought, hey, I'll pay some money for a gag, but not the price of a house.
Two records in one though.
Yeah,
biggest chicken next to a motorway and most expensive gag in history.
Exactly. And longest prison sentence for a YouTuber.
Exactly. So no, other than I think the only world record I want is largest chicken next to a motorway.
Yeah, that is a
the rest are nonsense.
The rest I don't want to think about
fastest 100 meters. No thanks, mate.
No thank you. Biggest rooster, please.
Well, can I just quickly before I do this, you know that Guinness no longer sponsor the world records, but it's still called Guinness World Records. Do you know that?
So I didn't even know that they were the ones who sponsored
it. Guinness,
I mean, I thought it was just like a family called Guinness.
No, Guinness sponsored it. This world record idea. And then after a while, they went, okay, we're sort of doing rugby. We're not going to do it anymore. But it was so well known as it's a Guinness World Record that the company that bought it said, well, can we continue using your name when we buy this thing, lock, stock and barrel? And Guinness went, well, yeah, we're not going to give you any money. And they went, no, it's fine. So it's still called Guinness World Records, but Guinness have got nothing to do with it. So they still get the advertising.
Fantastic. Win-win situation.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite Guinness World Record is the largest ever car theft in history. Have you heard about this?
No.
This was North Korea contacted the Swedes and said, hiya, we need some estate cars for all of every member of parliament in North Korea. Can we please have 4,000 Volvos? So the Swedes said, yeah, absolutely. Of course you can. So they made 4,000 Volvos. They shipped them over to North Korea and it never got paid. So the North Koreans stole, I think it's 4,000 cars from Sweden. And just like that, I think you can imagine the kind of Swedish export authorities. But
we're you did get the cash up front. Yeah, I think so.
We're not getting paid for that. Oh no, someone's got to tell Volvo. Wow. So yeah, the North Koreans hold the world record for the largest ever car theft in history.
Wow. Well, that was question one, really.
No. Give your questions, Dan.
Yes. So because this is sort of quick fire guesses, I've done five. Is that all right?
Absolutely fine. Yeah. I've taken you off the leash. I've said, yep. go for it, doggy.
Okay.
Make the quiz as long as you want.
When you say goggy?
Doggy.
I meant to say, but I've had most of a passion star martini, which has made my head feel very warm.
My brain is currently being cuddled.
Yeah.
By Mr. Mark and Spencer.
Okay. To the nearest 10 centimetres, what is the current world record for the furthest distance squirting milk from the eye?
Brilliant.
Question one.
Glad it was eye at the end there.
Yes. Question two. Nick Vermeulen has the world's largest collection of airline sick bags. 2 points on offer here. How many does he have and from how many airlines? Dalibor Jablanovic of Serbia holds the world record for the most number of spoons balanced on his body. Obviously, he's standing up.
Obviously.
But how many did he balance? Question four. USA hairdresser Steve Walden started collecting the hair from his salon to make the world's largest hairball.
No.
I mean, you have to watch that video. That's a good video.
Yeah. Beat him, Max. Yeah, that's a video for you. I broke the world record for world's largest hairball. Is that a thumbnail?
But how heavy is it in kilos? Question five. How many people took part in the current record for largest human mattress dominoes?
I've seen that happen. I didn't make it.
Sorry, can I ask? So, Max, I'm unfair advantage. What is human mattress dominoes?
So you know how a domino rally?
Yes.
Yes. So you're a human. You have a mattress strapped to your back. Someone pushes you over, and you hit another person with a mattress strapped to their back.
Isn't it almost being like strapped to a mattress in a corner of this, like crucifixion-esque kind of style, and then they fall backwards
and
they're going backwards, right? You can fall over.
Also, some associated with the number of people who've suffocated in one go.
There we go.
Okay, wonderful, I guess. thank you, Dan, for that. And it's now time to leave. For those of you who do not support The Moon Underwater on Patreon, if you don't subscribe, head to moonunderpod.com and sign up to get ad-free extended episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast, and access to The Moon Underwater Social Club on Facebook. We'll see you soon in part two, where we'll be continuing to create Max's Dream Pub.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.